to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome, everyone, to the Movie Night podcast. I am TK Kelly, joined, as always, by my hilarious co-host, Mr. Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we watch a movie, we invite a guest to watch that same movie, and then we talk about that movie.
Word up. That's what we do. That's exactly what we do this week.
Nice and easy.
We have a very special guest. And, you know, every guest is special, but I'm going to go on a limb and say this guest, the coolest guest we've had.
The coolest guest, Dwayne.
Coolest.
273.
Yeah, and I haven't said that
before. You just shit on 272 people.
Listen, they already know. They already know. This is the coolest guest. This is my man, 40 Grand, guy that I've known, I think, since basically right after he started. And he was hilarious then, and he's grown. He's hilarious now. He's actually splits his time between L.A. and Vancouver. Made the power move up there where his name rings bells. Originally from Fresno. Well, we can get into that. But the hilarious...
we can get into that. Yeah.
The hilarious Dino Archie is with us.
That's a very beloved intro, man. Thank you. Yeah. I'm really glad to be here.
Dino,
thank you,
man. Thanks for being here, man.
I wanted you here for so long, but you know, I never know when you're here.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And I wanted to, you know, it's my honor, you know. The pleasure is mine.
Dude, thanks so much for doing it.
But the thing with the cool, you saying putting the cool on it.
Right.
You know, there was this stigma of if you were cool comic, you're not funny.
I didn't know about that.
That's just made by bitter, uncool comics.
Is it like a black comedy thing, kind of?
I think it's the greatest trick the devil ever pulled.
Right, right.
To convince you can't drip down and be funny.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
You know? But
exactly.
I'm like, I think that was, remember they say like cool is the kryptonite of funny. I've heard that shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, why'd I?
Well, if you're doing slapstick, you know what I mean? If you're Charlie Chaplin. But other than that, the thing to me is like, people can sniff out if you are naturally cool as opposed to, because it's weird you say that, because I think now there's a whole, in the last 15 years, there's this other sect of comedy where it's like, I'm too cool for the room. You know, I'm not talking about that. Like, I'm saying you're just cool, like we were in Bridgetown. We was talking about almost having a fight at the Bruco, which is a place we all work out, and we used to do comedy here in LA. It was a great place. I've been doing comedy at the Bruco.
I mean, let's not overstate it. It wasn't a great place.
It
was a place we could get up.
Here's what it was. It was a great place to work out.
Yeah,
do comedy, do karaoke, meet girls, right? And I remember my buddy My buddy used to come every Monday, and his wife came once. He wasn't out there doing nothing crazy, but she was like, what is it with the Bruco? She came, she was like, this is what y'all do? she didn't even understand it. She was like, this? But I mean,
it was always a good hang too. There was so many comics.
It was like a slave addict or something.
Right.
It was not
upstairs.
Fancy.
Oh no, yeah, no, it was like a shitty college bar, man.
But we were in a storage
room doing stand up.
and I've been doing that room since like before Adam. Like another guy used to do it back in the day.
Yeah, I feel like that was handed off like 10 times.
But the crazy thing, Adam Hunter, the guy who had it for probably the longest run.
Right, Adam.
He used to like, I remember he used to like, whenever I showed up, he'd be like, okay, man, I want you to kill, man. Don't be trying out jokes. You know, kill. Do your good stuff. Hey, Adam. How much are you paying me again?
Yeah. That's not. Also, there's no one in the room, dude.
Yeah, it's four comics. Yeah. It's me there.
Like, you're an athlete. That'd be like playing somebody you know you can beat. You got to work on your left. You got to do something to make it worth your while.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What are you doing? You're not getting better at anything.
Yeah,
you're doing your A shit.
Exactly.
Monday night for a couple drunk sorority chicks.
And it was great too, because you could do a joke, come out, talk to the other comics. I mean, I don't remember the particulars of jokes, but I remember talking to you about jokes and running bits. You know, you could do this, you could do that.
Yeah.
It's like a great little workshop thing.
With enough action on the side.
Right, right.
It was action going around.
Oh, that was my spot. I used to go get a turkey burger from Fat Burger.
Mm-hmm.
So party there. Go to Fat Burger, get a turkey burger with the egg on top. It was just every Monday. It was great.
Yeah, man.
Well, anyway, you were talking about Bridgetown.
Oh, so Bridgetown. Now, where
I diverted us when I was like, Bruco sucked, bro.
And then I was sitting there looking. I go, yeah, the Bruco days. I was into my mind. Yeah, I had a dream going on.
And I feel like we had Amir once, too. Because I think Amir was like riffing about it, the questions being homework.
Yeah.
I think memory serves. Because Amir and Dino, they're running partners, and they're both super cool. I'm in Bridgetown with these guys, and you can speak on it. And it's just... like, we're just comics, like cool comics. But this is East Coast dude, like type of guy I grew up with, though. Like, just like a white guy, but like not the new white. We talked about this before. Not these new white guys who are like understanding and, you know, want to hug everybody.
This is a shitty old school East Coast white guy.
This is an East Coast, you know, but good dude. He was drunk and he felt intimidated and he was so trying to fight start a fight. He was just saying things and you guys just kept deflecting and just kept being cool with him, and then he ended up being cool with us. But
it's like my little weak superpower.
I promise you, when he was talking that shit, I was like, oh man, it's gonna go down. So I'm like getting ready. I'm tightening my shoes up. I'm putting my keys between my fingers. Like this is. And then next thing I know, they just made friends with him. But it comes from that place of like, and you. This is the joke you had too. I'm gonna let you talk. I'm sorry.
No, I love
the joke you had about like, you know, like gangsters and all of that. Like you talked about, I'm from Fresno. It's that thing where both you and Amir, like that LA energy where LA guys look cool, but it's like they're not unwilling to fight. And I think that's the thing. Like, I think this guy understood that, like this cool shit is got a limit too. You know, like, so I better jump on board while they're right. Offering this of coolness.
Right, right.
Before I get my ass beat.
I mean, some of it is just having the sick. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm a good guy. That's why that sounds like a good guy, D, but it's from a darker place, I think, because it's just like, the idea of somebody getting mad at me. Like, I always thought as a kid, I always was laugh really hard when I saw someone on the brink of snapping.
Hey, that's diabolical.
Somehow that was sick, yeah. Like, oh, she's going, mom's going to pop right now over something little, like you drank her juice.
Right, right.
She slammed the door, I go, oh, it's over. If I didn't drink, I'm like, I like a little bit of that. Not that I want to incite that, but if it's happening to me, if someone's coming at me charged up and I know I ain't do shit, then I'm in my bag. I'm like, oh, okay, I get to make a new friend.
Right,
I get
right.
to really work right here. Yeah. I was in a nail salon getting my nails done, right? And I got my
see what I said about the cool shit? Okay, <right. laughs>
no, there's no way to say that. It's hurt.
You just got
to
say it. You can't. You just got to say it.
I was in the salon. That's what I do.
Fuck
whatever.
You guys, yeah, all right? Whatever. I did it.
you won't. Don't be surprised if you find me there. So I'm in there, and there's all these ladies in there. It's right around the corner from my place in Sherman Oaks. And I put my hands in the bowl, and I'm waiting. You know, I got my tracksuit on. I'm just letting my hands get taken care of. And then this dude comes in. There's an ATM there. This dude comes in. Some white guy,
right.
Bearded guy. And he comes in, and he's wants to use the ATM. But the owner, Asian dude's like, nah, man, you're not a customer. You know, there's a Wells Fargo right over there. So it was a petty, but it was still...
right,
whatever,
right.
It was their thing. I'm sitting there watching this, so it escalates. White dude's pissed. He's like, I'll just give you some money to do it, like, but rude. He's talking down to him, and now he's making a scene, man. All the girls are looking. I'm there, and he's screaming at this point. He's like, man, fuck you to the owner. He kicks it up all the way to the fuck you, you know, da da da. And I turn around, I said, hey, man, I said, well, why don't you relax a little bit, you know, just talk normal. And he goes, who the fuck do you think, who the fuck are you? I go,
right.
I'm the guy talking regular.
Yeah.
And you're the guy. That's all man. And it was dope. It just took it down.
Right,
and
right.
I'm like, it's a weird thing, so I kind of get off on it. Yeah. Is all I'm saying. So I'm not saying it's coming from a good place.
But that's cool. When most people, like, it's almost like we should do heart rate studies on you because, like,
if somebody screamed in my face, who the fuck are you? My fingers are coming out of that bowl, and I'm fucking that dude up. Like, I'm going off.
Right, right, right.
I don't. I, right, you're very I zen.
His heart rate. don't shit get his heart rate up, except maybe running.
I don't like roller coasters. I'm scared as shit of roller coasters. But yeah, I'm cool in those positions. And I'm like, I remember times of like, I think alcohol would do it. I think I drank a lot in my 20s. In Fresno, that's the culture.
Right. Sure, man.
We're all alcoholics.
Yeah, yeah.
It ain't
nothing
no,
to do.
Nothing to do. Yeah. And to do it, you want to do it drunk.
Fuck yeah.
If you're going to. This is before weed was bigger in my world or whatever. Right. But that shit just, it brings out a different kind of, a bad guy, a different kind of person takes over. Just, I didn't like that free. I think I got to the end of that.
Right.
I didn't go to no AA or nothing, but I think I just got to the end of it and was like, I don't like being my emotions dictating. They have the say. There's some shit you say that I'm like, well, that motherfucker said this. That's why I did it. The judge is going to be like, okay, that's cool, nigga. You're going to jail.
Right.
Because you don't know how to take some words, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's really the truth. Like, because when you fight in your 20s, no one goes, gets arrested. In your 30s, you get arrested.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
It gets,
well, yeah, you
know,
and you don't think about that. Like, this is what you're doing is illegal. You're attacking another person in public.
They said some shit
to you. Fucking crazy.
Right,
fucking
right.
Yeah,
and you can get hurt in your 30s.
You can get hurt in your 20s.
Just like the next day, you're like, oh, that wasn't worth it. Like, even if you win, it's like, oh.
Oh, you lose.
You lose.
It's lose, because you're not no real trained fighter. You're not knowing it.
Right,
even
right.
Fighters, that's how much fighters, they fight so much that they never want to fight.
Yeah.
You know, no fighters want smoke.
Yeah, well, they people like, who really fight know how much fighting sucks. Yeah. Like, it's not great getting hit in the face. It's not fucking fun.
Right. So that's why, like, that approach of, like, when a jam-up, we call them jam-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody come in to steal some of your time or put a little roadblock in whatever your agenda is, I'm like, man, the last thing I want to do is be this stank confrontation and where yelling, I'm yelling. That's no, and then I'm going to go on stage and be funny. It's like,
yeah.
You ever seen a comic snap on a crowd and then try to go back to being cool?
Yeah, and usually.
We witnessed it the other night. At Poncho's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But he was right. It's hard. Sometimes you're trying to do your thing on stage, and some like people have so fucking little respect.
This guy was trying to run his, like, I don't know if it was a Tonight Show.
He had an audition coming up.
Like a 5-minute kind of tight set, and these cute, you know, selfie-taking chicks in the audience, and they just were talking over him. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, it was Craig, right? He says, I usually go with it, but he was just so wanting to get that 5-minute set.
He was there purposefully for that shit. But, and that's not like this bar is, it's a 40-minute drive for most of us. Like,
I'm pretty sure.
He's putting a lot of effort to be there.
That's true. I don't know who Murphy was, but, you know, and who, the Murphy's Law, you know, I don't know who the Murphy was, but he was from L.A. You know what I mean? Like, L.A. is like that and comedy is like that. Whenever you're doing a 5-minute set, some shit is gonna happen.
Oh yeah, okay.
Especially if you're trying to tape it.
Yeah.
Good luck, asshole. This building's gonna burn down.
This is a fact. So the only thing you can do is tape like 20 sets where it don't mean nothing, and then one of them you won't be able to use. You know what I'm saying?
Why exactly? So it's like you go that scenario. He's and then also you're human, man. Everybody has a snapping point, and like I said, that straw. They don't see that last one. They don't see the million other straws. It's just that last one. And someone starts acting. People do that when I do my shows. I get a lot of, I have that energy where weirdos be like, yeah, man.
Right.
Me and you, bro, we get it. I'm like, okay. So people stand up in my shows, not talk negative. They're always just a part of it. And I'm
I mean, even supportive, it can be.
It can be, but
it's a roadblock.
It could be, but it's like at the where I'm. I'll try to tape a set, and if I go, I'm married to doing that. No matter, come hell or high water, I'm gonna run. That's a crazy way to prepare.
Yeah, just go with
that's
it.
Just, yeah.
Because if you weren't taping the set and somebody started talking, you wouldn't completely ignore them and try to push. Like when someone has to be acknowledged, when you can see the room is paying more attention to them now than you because they're that distracting. Like you just got to break from it. You have to.
Yeah, no, totally, man. That happened. I did a recent TV thing, and I hadn't done one in a while, so I was like, okay, how am I gonna prep? I remember doing the first late night and doing the set and doing it, and it's like, you know the fucking set. it's 4 minutes of silly TV.
Right, yeah, right.
At the end of the, it's at the end of the silly TV.
No one's
night.
Watching. It's no, fine. Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Your friends are gonna see it on YouTube. It's fucking
it's
cool.
Great. Yeah, that's great. It's amazing. But it's like, come on, man. It's just
right.
You know, if in the room you don't get down like that, if you're not just letter of the law, you leave room for moments. You know, like. I don't know your comedy. I know you're funny. I just don't know. I know his. Your comedy is timing this part of
right,
it.
Right, right.
So you're not just like shoving down setups and punchlines like you're doing Hamilton.
Yeah.
Just doing a play.
Right, right.
That it's like something in that room leaving that element, which is the challenge, right, of doing a late night show, making it feel like, or set, or any special, making it feel like how it would.
Right, right.
In the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, in sports, you can't be like, I'm swinging at this pitch. Maybe baseball, but in basketball, you can't be like, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Right. You have to do what the defense dictates.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's like a little dance.
Yep.
And so.
And you have a choice. It's just a choice of like, when they escalate it, and then you go. They escalated, and you're like, "Nah, nigga, I'm ready to take it there too."
Right, right.
Okay. Once you go there, then that's where you gotta. Right.
That's where you gotta
see where that whole thing hanging out. But if you take, I like to take it,
right,
and play and dance there with.
Well, the thing is to have fun, and so that guy had no fun that night because they stole his joy because he wasn't able to accomplish what he wanted to do. Like you said, if he wasn't taping anything, he would have just went boop boop boop.
Yeah.
And had fun. And they were cute girls. I mean, he went beyond, like, you know, negging them where, like, maybe he might hook up with them. He
closed the
door.
He was going
to fight them.
Yeah.
He shut it down.
You don't want to.
They left after one more comic.
Yeah.
They were like, let's get out.
I mean, you knew they were leaving after. Yeah. I never understand. Like, you're going to come and sit in the front row and have a full-on conversation? Like, doesn't that feel weird for you, too? What the fuck are you doing?
It's attention, you know, and they thought they wanted that smoke. They didn't want it.
I got to say this too, though. I opened for you maybe a year in. We did L'Amour.
Was that up the by casino, the Fresno?
The casino.
Did you put it together? Or
it was my uncle.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah.
Now I'm host. I'm new in it. And there's a table. They're talking. We're in the lobby of the casino. So you're pretty much outside or whatever, you know.
Right.
But. And I'm up and I'm like going at them and doing this, but they're barely listening. Then I watch him do an hour and he because they wasn't heckling. They just had their conversation, right?
Yeah.
So then he goes and just does his stuff. Boom, doesn't raise his voice, doesn't go low, just doing it to the two people who are listening. Then they shut the hell up and then everyone's laughing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember talking to you about that. I was like, the approach. And I forgot how you said it, but it was along those lines of, you know, sometimes just if they're not coming at you, like they're going to listen. They're going to see people laughing and having fun.
Right.
And then they'll shut up.
Find it's contagious.
Yeah, that was it. And I like that. I always thought that always stayed with me of trying to like check somebody and put them in their place in a funny way.
Yeah.
But keep having, let's get back on this fun train.
Yeah. Well, comics don't realize like when other people are being inconsiderate, it's not as crazy to normal people as it is to us.
Right.
Like
right.
The audience might look at it like, yo, they were just having a quiet conversation. Like, relax, psycho. you can't. But to us, it's like, this is my stage time. How could you?
Yeah.
And I was like, they don't give a fuck. They don't get it. Like, it's crazy to expect people to always side with you. You definitely got to be like gentle and know when to just. Let it happen and be like, all right, I'll get them or
absolutely.
I won't.
Absolutely. It's kind of like when you give a child a toy and they play with the box that the toy came in. just
let them do
just
it.
Just can't think what it's going to be. Just got to go with it. Like, this thing like, just makes like, noise and like whistles.
They're playing either way.
Right. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Yeah, man, that's the thing, too. What thinking about, like, all the shit people can do and how hard it is to rip your fucking face away from your phone. The fact they even came out on a Tuesday or Monday and gave it a shot. They're hot chicks. I'm not saying like they get a pass. They don't get no pass when it comes to like, hey, you're taken away from the attention of everyone. But you hot chicks settle in loud.
That's true.
Big chicks, you know, big chicks walk tenderfooted. They don't want to like big chicks. They walk tenderfoot. They make themselves small. I got a buddy, man. He's 6'6", giant dude, and he knows how to make himself small. Some people, big people do that, but the hot chicks are like, Man. They're like, they walked to the end of the club like WWE. Like, yeah. The music
came like it's fucking fire on both sides of them. They're spitting water in the air.
It's like chihuahuas, basically. Yeah. Little chihuahuas. I get but it sounds like you're saying big girls and are sneakers.
Oh, shit. There it is. There it is. The segue.
That's why you do what you do.
Right.
That's why, y'all, I see it. I see
another perfect segue by Dwayne Perkins. That is the movie we're talking about this week. It's called Sneakers from 1992. It's directed by Phil Alden Robinson, starring Robert Redford, Sidney Poitier, Dan Aykroyd, River Phoenix, Ben Kingsley, David Strathairn, fucking cast in this movie. Mary McDonnell.
Cast is fire.
What did we think of this movie? You guys had both seen it before, right?
I had seen it.
Yeah, and, sure.
Yeah, it was good to watch it again. And the crazy thing is, I was looking for it and I didn't remember the name. So I came across another name, and then so in that research, I read an article about it, and the article suggested that like it still holds up. Not only as a movie, but like technologically. From a technological standpoint, it's like it made sense. Because, you know, sometimes movies are just like a guy at a keyboard going.
Right.
And then, ooh, I hacked the system. Right? It's like,
I'm in.
This is mad.
Wow. <Like, how? laughs>
mad accurate. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. Yeah. I think it's. I don't know about the box that can crack any code. I don't know if that's a thing, but
inside an answering machine.
I do. You know what? You could relate that to Cambridge Analytica.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of concept of they took information and turned it into alchemy.
Right.
They took this data and turned it into something bad guys could, you know, predict the weather with and get rich. And so it did, that's how I saw it. I felt like it kind of was still current. It was relative to the way information, you know, is
well, yeah. I mean, information security is so fucking huge now. And this feels like it had a feeling of like Mr. Robot when Ben Kingsley's talking about taking down the whole system and bringing everybody back to even. Like, that's a contemporary thing still.
Absolutely. It's,
and this is like the theory behind it is so real that it makes it like this is just a fun kind of silly spy movie in a lot of ways, but it's like serious stakes.
Right.
And like you mentioned earlier, Dino, we were talking about a little bit, like there's just some like there's some ridiculous funny shit happening and then somebody gets shot. Like it lives kind of in the both worlds of like a legitimate spy thriller and then just like kind of goofy buddy comedy. Like it's weird, but I saw this as a kid. It was always on TV.
I remember,
and like this is just a fun fucking movie.
Yeah, as a kid, it was nostalgia for me because I always like, oh yeah, sneakers. Yeah, I always remember it with some kind of good.
It's great. It's just enjoyable. It's a very like easy to watch 90s movie.
It's 90s as hell.
It's so 90s.
Right. It's so 90s. It's comforting.
Yeah.
That was like, yeah, that's. It's like a 90s just like...
Like you kind of see them doing a lot of things that if somebody did it in a movie now, they're shitting on those funny movies, like movie moments.
Right.
But they like this was the like moment. They were seriously doing it.
Yeah, this is what
it.
You just
this
did.
Was like that was when these things were started.
This is how you did it. Dude had the Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
They say he's an older guy, just throw a Letterman jacket on him. He'll seem like he don't want to go to the gym. he's a grease man.
Yeah.
Because somehow he was still the grease man.
You know what's crazy too? This is a subtle thing, but in the next movie we're doing, the next movie for next week, Robert Redford, it would behoove him to put on a hat, right?
Right.
To sort of disguise himself. But I think his face and hair are so good that he just won't wear a hat.
I'm sure
the director was like, you know, I'm thinking a hat.
We don't
do hats.
We don't hide this. This is a tall, striking, blonde adult man.
Right,
this is
right.
Like, that guy's easy to find. There's not a lot of them running around. Like a real blonde adult man.
Right.
He's a real, how often do you see those?
And he's got his jaws
those
chiseled.
Guys died off in the night.
Right? No one has blonde hair past like 8 years old. Just goes away.
And it's taken still seriously. Like,
yeah.
You become the party white guy.
Yeah.
Right,
a Cato
Cato Caitlin.
Cato Caitlin, yeah.
Those guys. You know, they got out here. They still are looking for some.
Dude,
some
it's Redford and fucking Brad Pitt were like the only two that got to be like taken seriously, but like. Just you're absurdly good looking, dude. What the fuck is this?
Oh,
like,
man, not to deviate, but I saw the Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, we just did that episode.
And Brad Pitt was dripped down. Yeah,
it was fucking great.
Man,
that was great.
Man, that's how you know, I mean, you still earning it. You still out here, you know, looking cool, and kicking ass.
You never hear this about Robert Redford, but with Brad Pitt, you hear stories that he stinks. And
that he's
no, like literally.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's diet or he doesn't shower. And I feel like that's just some shit people come up with
That's like a pre-internet urban myth. They're like, yeah, whatever. I heard he stinks. Like, nah, I doubt he stinks.
Like an incel,
I bet he stinks. I bet he stinks real good.
Yeah, man. That guy's. Something about it was like, oh man, to see a guy who's not, he survived the Me Too thing.
Yeah.
He kind of came. Robert Redford.
Brad Pitt. Oh, yeah.
Brad Pitt, Redford. So you seeing a leading guy who ain't a scumbag.
Yeah.
And he's dripped down. I'm like, hey man.
Dude, I mean, cool. Redford.
I got to, because you know, they had the McQueens, they have the guys.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, some motherfuckers are just cool. And you go, that's, if I get, I want to be cool like that.
In that position.
And I mean, in this movie, Redford's what? He's in his
60s. Oh, he's mad.
Yeah.
Like, still just cool as fuck. It doesn't bother you at all. Like, this is a hard, to me, a studio would look at this movie and want to make the lead some younger version of him. But like, why give this role to an older guy? Because he's fucking Robert Redford and he's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, he leads this cast, which is like, this is an insanely good cast, doing like some of it, like how they got Sidney Poitier is like,
that you don't get him.
Sidney Poitier does like an actual double take in this movie,
right?
Like a practical spit take, and this is like the fucking actor.
Yeah, like, and he's looking at River Phoenix with a black face, like,
whoop. Yeah, double takes on his black face. It is so, dude. I rewound that like three times because I'm like, you don't get a Sidney Poitier double take very often.
Ball. He was having,
yeah,
fun.
It was great, man. It was super fun.
He goes, I need it and I need it now. God damn it. You know, he did it.
But he definitely had his Sidney Poitier moments. Yeah, he acted the fuck out of it.
He wasn't talking to anybody. He goes, if you're not doing it, I need it now, damn it. Not right now.
Yeah, that's Sidney Poitier. Did I ever tell you why they kicked me out of the CIA? Like, what?
My temper. it's great. It's fucking great. But that's like, and then you get like
my man from
David Strathairn, Whistler, right?
I just watched that the other day, man. When he did Murrow, and he's lost at Yonkers.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's great in this. He's like, it's fucking super goofy. I mean, the amount of jokes they make at the expense of him being blind is fucking amazing. Because it's like, that's not really going to fly as much now. But like, it was all, the whole thing was so lighthearted.
It was.
In general.
Lighthearted with a theme that's like a big theme.
Real. Very real.
Real.
And it's great how it starts in 1969. Like, that pulls it all together because it's like back in the beginning of the internet, just a few people know, there's no security. Yeah. You know, it all
just
makes
two
sense.
Kids in a dorm room.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, this has all the classic things you want. And then like one of them gets caught and then he dies in prison and you're like, you know, he's not dead.
Oh, you know,
he's got to come back because this guy ruined his life, which is legit, by the way. This is that weird 90s thing where they treat the supervillain like, oh, he's crazy.
Right.
Like, well, no, he's right, though. You ruined his fucking life.
They still be doing that.
Yeah,
they did it in Star Trek.
Sure, man.
They do it in the.
Right. It's like, no, this is a justified villain. Like, you wronged him, man. He went to prison.
Right.
You told him he wasn't going to get in trouble.
Well, here's the thing. He
fucked up. Yeah. Robert Redford's the real villain here, guys. That's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing. Redford said, "Don't worry about it. It's all cool. That's going to happen." Okay, so that he was wrong on that note, but when they flipped to see who got the pizza, no, he didn't flip. He said, "Which hand is the quarter in?"
Yes.
There was not a quarter in either hand.
So because he deceived him into getting pizza, he deserves to go to prison.
I'm not saying
he wasn't unfamiliar with deception.
Right. Yes,
he's
exactly.
Not, yeah, he's yeah. been lying to yeah. his friend.
Yeah,
and so when he's in jail, he was in jail for 12 years.
Karma, dude.
Listen,
fuck.
Let's say out of a week, 6 days out of the week, it was like, fuck that dude. But then at 7th day, he's like, I did fucking do the trick with the quarter, though.
Yeah. Dude. You know what's funny to me, too, though?
I'm sorry.
They also treat it like, they're like, and you know what happened to him in prison. And I'm like, what prison did this college kid get sent to?
Yeah.
For committing financial crimes on computers? That kid's not going to any prison where he's getting fucking murdered.
I'm sure it was an Ivy League school or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the way, I'm not going front, man. Ben Kingsley's character, what was his name?
Cosmo.
Cosmo's pretty goddamn petty.
Yeah.
If you really want to slice
of course.
It, he's too petty. It's funny. It makes it for, like, but at a certain point, you got to look in the mirror, man, and go, this is, you were with the smoke. You wanted
exactly.
You can't put all this on.
I mean, he also, like, he talks about, He gets out of prison and he's still talking that same exact shit they were talking in 1969, where he's like, that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring it all back to even. No more rich, no more poor. And Redford has this moment of like, oh, this is sad, dude. Come on. We're not still doing it. You can't do that. You can't do that. Everyone would fucking die.
And he goes, remember what we said? You know?
Yeah.
He's like, and he goes,
not really. It's fucking 20 years.
The coldest line was when he goes, that was a prank.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Like, we were just kids, dude. I was dumb.
Identity on a prank.
He says straight to his face, he's like, oh, you have gone crazy.
It's crazy.
You're fucking nuts.
Because I have a joke I do about people bringing their bullies on, or like Springer. It's like, you know, you tortured me every day in high school, and this boy did put you here to tell you about it. And, and the bullies always like, I'm sorry, who are you? we went to school together?
I kicked a lot of asses. I don't know.
Like, bully be cool as shit, too.
I'm living my life. I got I'm wiped up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the bully be cool. Later on, they'd be like, oh, yeah, man, I used to be a knucklehead.
Yeah,
right. Man, let's take you for a beer, man. You're all right. That's how I would do.
Exactly.
I did. I don't know if it was appropriate, but I did. It was a comic before me in Calgary, and he had a stick. His stick was like, was kind of school shooter-ish.
Oh, word?
He didn't say that. He didn't. But he that just was his, like, everything was dark and basement. A lot of punchlines ended in the basement.
Wow.
And
like an incel type comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Hey, no, sometimes they hit. Sometimes they're so over. He's so over the top.
They think he's joking. And
they know he, he is. And he is joking. Right. I know he's being a comic, but he's just choosing to go dabble with those dark colors.
Right.
And so the room's dead. It didn't work. You know, the room's come to a halt. Then the host says something, brings me on. And I was like, fuck what you guys said. I like the set.
Because
if he comes, I go, just remember that when you come shoot this.
Right.
Like, I've
right.
always been cool with the school shooter.
Yeah, you got to
you
be.
You
got to
be cool with it. Not that it's okay to, right?
You know that one guy in your class where you're like, he might. So I'm going to be nice to him.
I was always cool with all those tricks. I was cool with everybody, man.
But what's crazy about it is that Ben Kingsley spent all his time in a joint. He faked his own death, you know, got a ponytail, you know, upgraded his whole look, worked for the mafia. You know, he's like, and his whole thing is, pretty boy Robert Redford, I'm going to get you this time, or you can join me, but you don't get to win this time. And then he falls for the okiest of the dokiest okie dokes. And the shit is not in there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
And he let the
literally the exact same thing that he did to Robert Redford at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
He takes the thing and it's not there at all.
He was at the 1 yard line. He fumbled fumbled it.
Part of me wanted, like, at the end for him to be like, because it all hinged on, like, you're not going to shoot me. I can't shoot you. You're my friend. I can't kill my friend. Like, part of me at the end wanted him to just be like, nah, I mean, I'm going to shoot you. Like, fucking just unload on the roof. Like, I need that thing.
That
I need it.
That was the only thing that seasoning that character needed was he should have killed some. They should have him do something dangerous to someone else.
So then we didn't believe
that. Because at the end, you know, he wasn't going to. I didn't feel like in danger.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
It wasn't new. It was a different rooftop, like New Jack City. That was a moment when you're going, oh man, B Money, like, oh shit. Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, this is the time where you gotta pay the tax, or Carlito's Way. Those are the
not fuck
the,
yeah, man.
Yeah, but you like, if they added that Ben Kingsley was willing to get his hands dirty,
yeah,
then that would have been a thing. But he was like, well, whatever, do what you want. And he just left and he opened the shit.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he's like, out of nowhere, Redford's like, all right, just take it. Fine. Take the like, you're not suspicious of that, dude. He's just giving it to you. He's gone through all this trouble to get
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
You got to look in the box, man.
And even with the girl, like, this guy, like, that was a great moment. But still, when the guy comes in, when he realizes he's been... Is that Carl? What's his name? Yeah, is that the guy from Groundhog's Day?
Oh, yeah. Stephen Tobolowsky.
Stephen Tobolowsky, yeah.
Werner.
Yeah, when he realizes that the girl is maybe, you know, running game,
yeah.
He takes it to the thing, and they're like, okay, let's see. It's a great moment when she says, I'm not computer dating again.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's a lesson in just less is more. Like, no one asked you to say,
it's always
don't
a
try
yeah.
to sprinkle.
Yeah, you've gotten away with it. Yeah. You've gotten away with it. Down. Keep your mouth shut.
But she should have even gotten away. They should have just looked at him, looked at her. Mm-mm. Everybody sit down. We're going to figure this shit out.
Something stinks.
I laughed at that, too. That was a low-key diss, too. That was a shot Ben Kingsley took.
Oh, man, sure.
Because it wasn't even probably
dude, like, script. Right to his face.
Maybe.
That wasn't face. In the
goes,
script.
That extra little part where he goes, YouTube. He goes,
no computer
way.
Would yeah, do yeah. this. Jesus. No functioning computer would pair you up.
Which is hella ugly.
Like, yeah, I didn't know computers were that fucking petty. Like,
but think about how crazy
superficial
that is.
Man.
Because he's like, maybe you're a crazy woman. Maybe you decided to go out with him, but you ain't gonna put this on my computer.
Yeah,
like
he knows computers.
Yeah,
computers that wouldn't computer. Do this. Not my computer.
That line was fire. And then when it all tied in at the, you know, when he was like over the intercom, like, you got all the girls.
Yeah,
it was always you, Marsha. It was just petty. That was like,
yeah, of course, man. It was like, what do you mean it was always me? We hung out for like 2 years in college.
He
like,
goes,
what the fuck
for,
do you want?
I knew for a month, man. We weren't even really that good of friends. Because it was a fucking prank. I barely even knew you, dude. Everyone thought you were weird, bro. Like, I was just cool trying to.
We all knew so. You were gonna grow a ponytail. We tried to stop you, but
you know what's weird is that, you know, like when you act and stuff. You ever, you guys ever hear of, like, the technique of having a secret? Like, when you act with someone, just something to motivate you about the other person, and you never tell them.
Okay.
And it could be about them or about the character, but it's just something that sort of informs the scene, right? Okay. And so at the end on the rooftop, it just felt like, and maybe you guys, maybe it's not that deep, maybe this was the point, but it felt, even though he said you got all the girls, it just felt like Ben Kingsley was in love with Robert Redford.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He definitely, he had that, like, he looked up to him so much. He was the guy. He was the cool guy.
Right, he said, don't, like, stay with me, man. Don't leave.
The
movie was really about their,
their
relationship.
Yeah.
I was like, that was a thing, too, in the first 40 minutes. And it's also weird watching movies now. You guys been doing this podcast, so you've been in good practice of it. Right. I haven't been watching as many movies that I like. And new ones at least, and so my attention span has gotten shorter. To where I'm like, get to it,
hurry up.
But then I'm like, oh wait, no, take your time because you were going. Because so right when I almost was like, oh, I remember this movie being doper, then they kicked it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was like,
well, you really remember like what sticks out to me as from when I was a kid is the breaking into the building, man, the crawling through the air ducts, and like once that shit starts, it's like even just the planning though, like the whole spy thing really it's kicks exciting, in halfway man. Through like it jumps up.
I was gonna say it's like it's almost like Ocean's 11 but
with
consequences, and not just like insanely good looking and successful with nothing going wrong,
right?
Like Ocean's 11, those like all those movies that there's never a question they're gonna get away with it.
Yeah,
this had elements of that, but it was still like they had to like finesse it a
bit. Yeah. No, totally. Yeah, because I think that those Ocean's 11s are they're sexy movies.
Right.
They're like
exactly.
selling the sizzle.
Right.
And
the
steak was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they in this one they were kind of like, you know, it was a little bit serious, but it was enough as a kid to enjoy it. I remember the trailer being exciting, and then I remember. That's like in the 90s on that thing, like the movie Solo Remember that with Mario Van Peebles? He turned cyborg.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The trailers were so so fire.
Right.
Anything with the future, you know?
Right.
And sneakers was, this was in that 90s, that perfect, you know? Then it got probably better, like True Lies kicked it up.
Right. I remember that virtual reality movie, I think. Was it
Virtuosity?
Yeah, Virtuosity. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, Cool World.
Yeah,
there's some
Cool World's on my list for what we got to do.
Definitely.
I mean, I'm sure it's really bad now, but like
it's not. I watched it.
Yeah,
it's engaging. It's weird as shit. I watched the whole movie.
Yeah, it's crazy I distinctly remember watching. I saw that movie with my grandfather, and I was like, "What the fuck are we watching?"
Wow,
it's a trip, man.
But you know, and the thing too is like, it's just movie magic. Robert Redford pulls it off where you believe he's that guy, even though, you know, conventional knowledge, other than like the Winklevoss twins or whatever their names, like computer guys aren't supposed to be this chiseled. Right. They don't look like this. I mean, they get girls because they have money, but like this guy's just a guy, just, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if he's probably not based on a real character, but if he was, if you know, at the end, if they showed the real character, you'd be like,
hell not.
I mean, he pulls that guy off, though. Redford has always been able to pull off like very intelligent. Like he's playing journalists and all the President's Men, and you're like, I totally buy it. But like, you see the real guy, and you're like, that guy don't look like fucking Robert. Right. Like, what the fuck? He can definitely pull off intellectual well enough to buy into it.
Yeah. He looks like the same guy though. That's the interesting point though from earlier, is that he's not one of those actors who ever changed his drip down.
Right.
He was just like, I'm gonna just be looking fly for the most of whatever I'm going through.
Yeah.
I'll go through
my hair's gonna look great.
Yeah, but I'm gonna look good.
Like, can you gain weight for this role?
No, I can't gain weight. That's not a thing I've ever done.
Forever. He's like always had a six pack.
I've tried. I can't do it.
He looked like the dude. He looked just like he looked in Indecent Proposal.
Right,
like he looked like he could just also be like, hey, I'll pay you to fuck your wife.
Yeah, yeah.
On the way out of the bank or onto the robbery or whatever. Also, I don't have a problem here.
And then we get into the questions. I think part of the trick, too, is hooking him up. And this is like the other movie, some of his other movies. The female interest is always like attractive but smart. And, you know, she brings more to the table. Mm-hmm. So then that makes him... He doesn't seem as shallow, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
He goes for
intellectual equals.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what was it? Mary McDonald, is that right?
Yeah,
she played that same role in Blue Chips.
That's where I like her from.
Blue
Chips. Yeah, she's always like, I'm done with your shit.
Yeah,
she's great at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she's still a down chick.
Yeah,
she'll hold
you
down, but she's put her foot down.
Yeah, I mean, she's like first thing when they see each other, and this is one of those very 90s movie moments, but she's like, we're not getting back together. And it was like, oh, shit. She doesn't take no shit from no one.
Right, right.
Let's get into these games while we have a little bit of time left. Let's make a drinking game out of this movie, guys. So every time something repetitive happens in this movie, you take a drink. What do you think, Dwayne?
I think every time you look and think Sidney Poitier is literally too old for this shit. Because he does a great job, but sometimes you're like, you know, he's great, but it's like, man, he was on his couch. Somebody came and got him.
Yeah. Physically, he wasn't moving that well.
Right.
Yeah. For me, it was every like big surprise laugh in this movie. I forget. Like, they get some weird jokes out of nowhere that you don't expect in a movie like this. The one that comes to mind is when Whistler is feeding Robert Redford lines through the earpiece.
Oh,
and he's like, and make sure you give him head all the time. And like, Sidney Poitier laughs his ass off at it. And like, you don't expect that in this movie, man. It's fucking great. It's kind of out of nowhere.
This whole time you guys have been talking, I've been panicking. I forgot about this.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah.
What part of this? You sent me this.
I love that you're just like, I was panicking, and I'm just going to admit it freely. Like, you're not going to fucking
game
force one.
Okay, actual scenes. I remember this scenario. I was... I had to book, I had to do a book presentation of Huckleberry Finn.
Right, right.
In seventh grade, and I skimmed through it. Mm. But I was like, I got this covered. Like you just gonna rip
right.
What happened right. In the book that was already written. And I just ripped some shit. I made like the nigga the star somehow, and everyone's like, yeah, that was a good. The teacher's like, that's not what, you didn't read this shit. That's not what happened.
Oh, I got the gist of it.
So that was gonna happen. I like your guys' drinking games.
That's cool, man. I like your honesty. let's come up with a new Oscars category for this movie. So if it was nominated in a category that it's definitely gonna win, what would that category be? What do you think, Dwayne?
I had two, but I think I'm going to go with least hackiest movie about hackers.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. It definitely has those hacker movie moments, right. But it doesn't feel as cheesy and dated as most of those movies feel.
Yeah, and there's no, I don't think there's anything like, you know, the password is someone's dog's name or something like that.
No, this all seems like really well researched. Like even the math behind the codes was apparently was like the world's foremost mathematician at the time consulted on this movie.
Wow.
To like get that shit right. It was all
that was what my category would be.
Yeah.
Is the best recon.
Yeah. Movie. Yeah. Yeah. Like they, this, it all is very practical. It doesn't feel like vague, like some hacker movies feel like the thing they're chasing is like this non-existent, you know, right. This is all very grounded in reality.
Yeah.
And if your hacker movie is vague, I know what happened. You probably had a placeholder and then it revved up and you couldn't believe you sold it. You never went back in and
it's like, oh no, they like it as is. Like, yes, I'm fucking up. For me, it's the most subtle blackface joke because I didn't see that coming at all. It was like very early on and super like before that. I don't think there's too much that's really funny in the movie,
right.
And that's when you first start to catch on. They're like, all right, they're gonna play this pretty comedically and not take it too seriously. Let's rename this movie. So Sneakers, not a great name. I will say.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't really...
It made it confusing.
Yes.
Exactly.
Like, you didn't know what who was doing.
And yeah, I feel like I would forget the name of this movie for years and years. I was just like, oh, what was that movie? What was that spy movie? Right, you know, it had this and that and this and that, and I could never fucking remember the name of it because it's bizarre. But I guess it's like, at one point, River Phoenix says like that we pulled off the greatest sneak of all time. So I guess it's the lingo of
right.
of these nerds. But let's come up with a new title. What do you think, Dwayne?
I got this thing written down. Now I'm like, you know what I mean? Doubting it.
But not feeling it anymore?
Because it just popped in my head because it's the 90s and this was big in the 90s, especially early part of the decade. I don't know why I just wrote down AO Swell.
What?
Instead of AOL.
Oh, AOL.
Oh, Dwayne. You were right to second guess that.
AO Swell.
AO Swell. If you don't say it without pointing and winking.
This guy.
Dino, what do you think, man?
I'd say Too Many Secrets.
That's a really good one.
That would be a good one.
It feels
one,
like maybe that might have been the name of it, right? Because they say it so much that they're like, I feel like that was on the first draft of the screenplay.
That's when the movie started for me. When the black dude came up and put the he goes, is this loaded? And then he was like, bah.
Yeah.
Too Many Secrets.
Yeah, man.
That shit. But then also I could see how that would maybe inform a make you think this is gonna be too serious. But I guess it's just how you do the poster.
Yeah, right.
It's really
the
poster.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, the new name is Cooties Rat Semen. Because that was the words they spelled with the Scrabble letters. And I always thought that was fucking hilarious. Because that is really, that's a weird joke to throw in this. Like a Robert Redford movie has a joke that goes, Cooties Rat Semen. That's fucking bizarre. I love it. Let's pick one character or moment from this movie. Make a spinoff. For me, this one, I got to go Dan Aykroyd, Mother. The show's called Mother on the Road, and you follow him around in his Winnebago from weird town to weird town and just listen to him talk his conspiracy bullshit. I love it.
I love it.
Podcast,
love it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be great. That'd be great. Mine, even though I love the River Phoenix moment when all he wants is that girl's number. Now, that's just gangster. Yeah. Like, everyone's getting a trip and all of that. And the girl is like, wait, you can have anything in the world?
Yeah.
Well Phoenix played. In his bag. Well played. Well played.
I mean, he should have asked for something, though. Yeah.
But I went with the blind character. The blind
Whistler.
Yep. Yeah. So it's a show where he solves crimes by listening.
Dude, that would have been a totally real like work. CBS weekly hour.
Yeah, because he's doing his Ray Charles.
Yeah,
Stevie Wonder shit.
Yeah, when he danced, when they did that dance montage, she was definitely doing a little Stevie Wonder.
I believe he was blind. I can't see shit right now.
Dino, what's your spinoff, man?
I would do, you know, Mary McDonald. She always is having to, you know, deal with these dudes who be fucking up. They're selfish.
Right,
they're
right.
Good guys, but they. I would do a spinoff of her white version of Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Oh, nice.
Not even white version. Just same movie. She's in it, so it'll hit.
But she's Stella, basically.
She's Stella.
Yeah, yeah. So
she fucks River Phoenix at the end.
No, she goes to Jamaica. Fucking Jamaican.
Tay Diggs. Oh, wow, wow. Tay Diggs. It's still Tay Diggs. It's got to be.
Sex in the City.
Literally the same movie.
Yeah. See if she could get her love. Find her groove.
But Dino's like, except I think I will play the role of Tay Diggs.
Let's cast the modern remake of this movie. So
now that's audacious too. I was thinking about that because it's such a fucking good cast.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. First, don't remake this movie. Yeah, don't touch it. It's great.
It was,
but
like,
they might though.
Yeah, they might because this is a sellable movie.
They've done
man.
It though. They probably done it and it's failed. Like, low key, they can't. Yeah, they've done it a bunch.
Yeah,
with these little raggedy. Right, right.
Oh sure, yeah. There's a lot. There's so many movies that try to be this movie for sure.
Now this movie though, the difference is like the timing of it, but also that they took their time and these people were professionals, everybody in it,
right?
You know what I mean? It was like a Glengarry Glen Ross but lighthearted,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Like, well, yeah, it had enough, there was enough like cachet here as far as actors that it's like everybody kind of brought it, you know? It was like, even though it was a little jokey, everyone took it seriously, sort of like the Ocean's 11 movies where you get such a good ensemble together, everybody's kind of trying to top each other.
Right.
So it's fucking engaging.
Yeah.
For me, I think I would want to see this. If you're going to do it, I say go like even bigger comedy. Just just go for the comedy. So I wanted to see Jim Carrey as Martin Bishop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not going traditional handsome dude, just charismatic, likable guy. Don Cheadle as Kreese.
Yeah.
Mother is Seth Rogen. Liz, Tina Fey, but in a wig of like short Mary McDonnell hair. I want to see her in that exact hairdo. And then let's see, Bo Burnham as Carl, the River Phoenix role.
Nice, that's a good.
I feel like he'd be fun in that. Whistler, Will Forte, and Cosmo, Bryan Cranston.
Nice.
Okay.
And I just play it silly as fuck. Don't try to match the tone of this movie because I don't think you're gonna be able to.
Right. I went sometimes big, sometimes not big. So I think I got everyone. Dan Aykroyd, the Dan Aykroyd character. I want to go with Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
Sidney Poitier character, Tracy Morgan.
All right. Nice. All right.
That's a little out there. I still went pretty with a Redford's character. So I'm going to say George Clooney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just, I mean, that's he is our Redford, right?
Yes. River Phoenix, I'm thinking Justin Timberlake, but, you know, you can play around with that.
That would be fun. So just see him play this nervous fucking dork who can't get chicks.
And Mary McDonald.
Which River Phoenix shouldn't have been playing either. Let's be real.
That's true. That's right. And so the girl, I want Melissa McCarthy.
Because
then that's going to be a whole, like, you know, this is the era of big girls winning. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you got to throw that in there. Ben Kingsley, Benicio Del Toro. And I think the blind character, I'll say Owen Wilson only because I originally had him as mother, but I switched. So I'll have Owen Wilson. I don't know if he can do blind, but I'll have him do that.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Right.
Dino, what do you think, man?
I really did not want to even see the people
casted
in something different. I just only a few that I only right, a few right. that genuinely jumped out at me. Would be Dan Aykroyd, would be Danny McBride.
Yeah, he'd be fucking great. That's a good one. That's a good one.
I have him in his bag. And then I got for River Phoenix, I'd have a Nick Jonas.
Okay.
I know. Throwing you a curveball. I like Nick Jonas.
All right, listen, nothing wrong with liking Nick Jonas. We all like a little Jonas.
Right.
And Regina King.
Ooh.
As Liz.
Nice. As Liz. Have some,
she,
you know,
she does that role well, too.
Right. Yes, definitely. Take no shit. Yeah.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I mean, not that Mary, because she was in her bag, but she had done, they were typecasting her.
Right, exactly.
Like she had just done that in Blue Chips.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I liked it in Blue Chips, it hit. Mm-hmm. It hit a different kind of way. So those are the main three. In the,
cool, man.
You know, the rest are fire. Everybody's fire.
Just bring them all back. Bring fucking Redford back in. He could still do it.
Absolutely.
let's wrap it up, man. That was great. Dino, thanks so much for being here, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, dude.
Man, this is over. I was overdue. Man, very nice to meet you, man.
You too.
Man, you're funny as hell, and this is, you know, I came up starting comedy watching this guy in the back of the room, so yeah, this is it's means something.
Good, you know, man. Well, we appreciate you being here, dude. Tell everybody where to find you online, all that sort of stuff.
My best, yeah, you can find the Drip Lord, Drip Flair, Drip James. You know, dig it. You know, Drip or Drown, Drip Season Year Round. You know how it is. I'm over here. On Instagram, Dino the Beloved. That's me on Instagram.
Solid. You know? Shout out to Toni Morrison, by the way, who just passed away.
Yeah, that's true.
Say Beloved,
Beloved Supreme. Yeah, dearly beloved. So, find me there. And if you, I'm tour all the time. I'll come to your little raggedy town. Get my little fucking semi-snake oil. And we'll have us a good old time.
Check them out, guys. Look for Dino Archie.
DwaynePerkins.com is the website. We're going to hopefully update those that calendar with my Australia dates. And Dwayne Perkins on the gram. Don't forget to cop that book, Zombie Run, on Amazon. It's a post-apocalyptic love story. And, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Check it out. I am at TK Kelly Comedy on all social media. We are at Movie Nightcast. Follow us. Talk to us. Give us your feedback. We love hearing what movies you want to hear us talk about. Let us know. We are still working through a list. I believe Sneakers was on the list from a while back, and I fucked up again and forgot who suggested it. But thank you so much, whoever did it. Great suggestion.
Yes.
Good movie. Really enjoyed it. Dino, thanks again for being here, man. Tune in next week, guys.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.